Stop listening to the other voices and letting them become the voice of God in your life. That's not the voice of God. Because oftentimes they're contrary to the word of God, and God's voice will never contradict his word. I just have a question. Who here has a sibling? Okay. Who here would say you know in the family who the favorite sibling is? Yeah, how many of you think it's you? Yeah, I could tell. Yeah. I may have told this story before, so if I did, forgive me for repetition, but I think it bears repeating considering what we're going to talk about this morning. When my sister was younger, I come from a family of 7 siblings, and when one of my younger sisters was struggling hearing my mom when she would call or when she would tell her to do something, so it became such a problem that my mom decided to take her to the doctor to have her hearing checked. And when she had her hearing checked, the doctor said, there's nothing wrong with her hearing. She hears fine. Maybe she's having a problem, like, mentally. We know now that's true. However, I hope my sister hears this message. I will send it to her. But anyways, maybe she's having an attention problem, he said. So when you're talking to her and she's not connecting with you, what you're saying, just wave your hand in front of her face and try and get her out of whatever space she's in. My mom said, okay, I'll do that. So a little time went by, and one night she was calling to my sister, and my sister was just sitting there staring off into space, and my mom's calling and getting irritated. And after like a couple minutes of this, my sister turns around in the chair and says, Mom, you're supposed to wave your hand in front of my face. She was hearing her the whole time. She just chose not to listen. I want to ask you this important question today, and I really want you to consider it. I want you to actually think about it, not just in your head, but in your heart. And that's this: who do you listen to? Who's speaking into your life that you're listening to? You're listening to someone. You're listening to something in your life. We've been talking about, for the past couple weeks, the greatest story of all time. And I just kind of want to paint a picture for you, if you could just bear with me for a minute, because if you've read the Bible, and you should, if you've read the Bible, in the Old Testament, God spoke to his people through 3 main offices, 3 main leaders in Scripture, and that was the office of the prophet, the priest, and the king. All 3 of those people throughout the Old Testament were responsible to lead and to speak to God's people and to begin to show an attribute of God that's later revealed to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And as we think about this greatest story of all time today, we recognize that stories have chapters, right? Today we're in chapter 5, and that's this: the prophet speaks and we must listen. Everyone say listen.
Listen.
Turn to your neighbor and say listen.
Listen.
Tell them like you mean it, like listen, or no snack for you after church. Listen. You know, if you have siblings or you've been around kids at all and you have this moment, you know, that's inevitably going to happen where one of the other siblings comes into the room and says, you need to do the dishes or you need to take out the trash. And they're like, no, I'm not going to do that. Why should I? And then they say, because dad said so. Right? You have another, because they're not going to listen to the other sibling. And when they do, when they say, because dad said so or mom said so, they're appealing to a higher authority. Now you had better pay attention and listen up. They said so. And when the prophet would speak, they would speak for God. And they would speak not just because they made up words, but because they were appealing to a higher authority than themselves. And throughout Scripture, God sent prophets to his people for 5 main purposes. I want you to understand this, so as you're reading your Bibles, you would understand how God's speaking to his people, and today you're going to learn how God speaks to us now. He did these 5 purposes, was this: to preach his word. Everyone say preach.
Preach.
Preaching awesome messages like I'm doing to you right now. Amen.
Amen.
Just need a little. To confront sin, to call people to repentance, to announce either judgment or forgiveness, and to reveal God's present and future plans. And God would speak through his prophets, his mouthpiece, the word of God, and God would use it to direct his people. This is where we get books in the Bible like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and many others, because God was speaking through his prophets, his men, as God, the Spirit enabled them to speak the word of God, and all of the people of God were supposed to listen. Everyone say listen. They were supposed to listen to the word of God. Sometimes they did, but more often they didn't. And they got themselves in a lot of trouble because of that. And God's judgment and God's rebuke would come down, and a lot of the things that happened to the people of God as far as punishment came about because they didn't listen to the word of God. So let me ask you again this morning as we get into this, who are you listening to? What are you listening to? With all of the voices out there that are speaking into our life, that are trying to give us information, that are trying to usurp the word of God, who are you listening to? We should be asking ourselves that question. And as we look at Christmas, God's Christmas story is his fulfilled promise that one day he would send his prophet, his final prophet, his final mouthpiece to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. And so if we could just take a minute and flash back to the Old Testament. If you don't know this, the Bible's broken up into two main parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And if we go all the way back in the Old Testament, God used Moses to free his people out of slavery from Egypt and bring them into the promised land. And one day, Moses was preaching to God's people. He was one of God's prophets, one of God's mouthpieces, a preacher of righteousness. And God was speaking through him, and he was teaching them the word of God. And as he was preaching to them before they went into the promised land, here's what he said in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, "The nations you will dispossess, listen to those who practice sorcery or divination. But as for you, the Lord your God has not permitted you to do so." That's still not permitted, by the way. We don't listen to, our tarot cards. We don't listen to horoscopes. We don't look at the stars. We don't look at crystals. We don't ask, soothsayers or whatever their names are that tell the future, supposedly. They're no longer on TV anyway. You know why? Because they couldn't tell the future. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. And he goes on to explain why. "For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, 'Let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die.'" Let me stop right there and explain what happened. When the Israelites went to the mountain of the Lord, God came down in his awesome presence and fire and smoke and a great voice of thunder, and it terrified the people, and they're like, "Don't let us hear it anymore or we're going to die." Because they really needed, because they were sinful people, they needed a go-between, someone to help them to hear and listen and understand the voice of God, which we'll get into more next week, by the way. He said, "Don't do it, we're going to die." He says, "Then the Lord said to me, 'What they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I will put my words in his mouth. He will tell them everything that I command him. I myself will call to account anyone who does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name.'" And so there's this prophetic utterance from Moses that one day God is going to send his prophet, his mouthpiece, and he's going to raise him up to speak his word, and anybody who doesn't listen to him is going to be in big trouble. Big trouble. Now, we know this is fulfilled because if we fast forward from the book of Deuteronomy and we go thousands of years into the future to the book of Acts, we know that this is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ, because Peter, while he's preaching after the day of Pentecost, he says this in Acts chapter 3. Repent. Everyone say repent. We should all be doing that. Repent then and turn to God. That's what repentance means. Turn away from sin and I'm turning to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send you the Messiah, who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. That means Jesus. That's what he's saying. That means Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy what?
Prophets.
Big deal, prophets. For Moses said, we just talked about him. Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people. So God is fulfilling his word through the person of Jesus Christ. Are you kind of getting a sense here of what God's doing? This is really what the Christmas story is all about. It's not just baby Jesus in a manger. It's God's fulfillment of his promise that one day I will send my mouthpiece, my prophet, my word through the person of Jesus Christ, and I'll raise him up to speak my word to God's people. And if we don't listen to him, we're going to be cut off. We're going to be cut off. And so we say this, if Jesus is God's great prophet, then ignoring his voice is not an option. We must listen to him. It's not an option. It's not optional. It's not something we can just say, okay, well, I don't really want to do it, and I'll just take bits and pieces and kind of put my own, you know, Bible together. That's not how it works. Now, I have to make this clarification because there are some other religions, like Islam, for instance, that teach that Jesus was a great prophet. But that's as far as it goes. They say he was a great prophet, but they don't listen to anything that Jesus said. And so we have to, as Christians, take it a step further about who Jesus is. He's not just a great prophet. He is the prophet of God. In fact, we'll say it this way. Jesus isn't just another prophet. He's God's full revelation of himself, the living word of God. God's full revelation of himself, the living word of God. That means that we had better really pay attention to what he says. Because the Bible tells us in John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. Everyone say the word. Watch this, the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. And he, who's he? He's going to tell us in a minute. He was with God in the beginning, and through him, that's the he was talking about, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That means that Jesus was part of creation. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The word became flesh. Jesus was born flesh and blood, by the power of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen and amen. And in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That means it's more than Jesus, baby in a manger, that Jesus is more than just another prophet. He is God in the flesh. He is God's mouthpiece, his fulfillment of his promise that came true in Jesus Christ when he was born in a manger and raised up to speak the word of God to the people of God, to reveal to them the plan of God for salvation. I want you to pay attention to this because I'm laying a foundation here of why we should listen to Jesus. And the Christmas story is more than just our twinkle lights and presents, and I love all those things, but really, it's about God's word coming down to us, and we must pay attention to that. In fact, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by what? His Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. This brings Jesus to a whole other level and how we should listen to him. And since Jesus is God's chosen word, our only right response is to listen to him. Who are you listening to? Are you ignoring Jesus? Are you ignoring God? And you might say, okay, well, how does God speak to us? You know, in the New Testament, Jesus was with the disciples, and he called out three of them. He said, hey, let's go on a nature hike. And they went up to this mountain, now famously known as the Mount of Transfiguration. And Jesus shone in all his glory, and they got all excited. And then the voice of God came from the cloud. It says, this is my son, whom I dearly love. Listen to him. Listen to him. And so as we think about that and think about how does God speak to us today, I'm going to help you understand that. So we have really God's primary voice in which he speaks to us in two ways, through his word and his spirit. Everyone say his word and his spirit. God will never contradict those things. And so the primary way in which God speaks to us now is through our Bibles, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. Who sang that in Sunday school? A few of us. And then when I was a kid, we stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. We would stand on our Bibles, which I always thought was kind of wrong because, you know, if you knew me as a kid where my feet have been, you don't want to be standing on nothing. But he speaks to us through his Word, that's number one, and through the Holy Spirit. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you've surrendered your life to him, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And we should constantly pray that God would fill us with his Holy Spirit and with his power because God speaks to us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our great counselor. It guides us. Whether you go to the right or to the left, you always hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, and tell you to walk in the way of the Word of God. That's the primary way in which God speaks to us. But there's also God's primary confirming voices, how God confirms his Word to us. And that's this, through preaching. Everyone say preaching.
Preaching.
Yep. Preaching. Hallelujah. Prayer. God speaks to you through prayer. If you're not praying, for a Christian is like a living person not breathing. It just doesn't work. If you're not praying as a believer, you're not hearing the voice of God. You're not asking God to speak to you and direct your life and give you counsel. And through worship, through actually praising God, you know what worship is? Worship is prayer in song form. When we actually sing to Jesus and we pray to him through worship and through godly counsel. This is an important distinction. Everyone say godly.
Godly.
Okay, recognize the difference between godly counsel and ungodly counsel. All right? Your BFF, who's not a believer, is not the person you're going to go to get godly counsel. Do you know why? Because they're not godly. That's how it works. So if you want godly counsel, you go to somebody who's godly, who's following Jesus and actually loves the Lord. They're not perfect because none of us are, but I go to them and say, hey, I need some godly, give me some godly wisdom here and help me. And God confirms his word, and anyone who gives you counsel that is contrary to God's word is not giving you godly counsel. That should be a huge amen. Because we listen to all these other voices, we try to mix it in with God's word. Okay, well, God says this, but I feel this way, so I'm going to go with this, and that's okay. God's going to be okay with it. Well, but it's contrary to God's word, and when it's contrary to God's word, that's called disobedience. It's called disobedience. And so we really need to be talking to God and say, okay, God, move in my life and help me to hear your word. And these aren't the only ways that God can speak to you. I mean, God can speak to you through a dream, through a vision, through an audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God unless it came from my wife. And I was says, yes, Lord, your servant hears. This is highly possible. How does God speak to us now? How can we hear God now? And I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes, and that's this, how to hear from Jesus. How can you take all of this theological aspect, all of this foundational truth we just discussed, all this building up this moment, okay, all of that's true. Now, how do I hear from Jesus in my life? How can I listen to his voice right now? And I'm going to give you a few ways that can help you to hear God's voice in your life. Number one is this, You got to stop listening to the mockers, haters, and dissension creators. I love this point. You got to stop listening to the mockers and the haters and the dissension creators. The mockers and the haters and the dissension creators. Woo, woo, the mockers and, right? You just got to stop. And not only just outside the walls, but even inside the walls. Because the Bible tells us in the New Testament, you have to watch out for the wolves even among you that are the mockers, the haters, and the dissension creators. And you got to stop listening to those because they'll drown out the voice of God in your life. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 1, it says, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with the mockers." The joys of those people, because they stopped listening to other voices and they started listening to Jesus. So let me just say this to you as powerfully as I can. Stop letting other voices speak louder than Jesus. Stop listening to the other voices and letting them become the voice of God in your life. That's not the voice of God. Because oftentimes they're contrary to the word of God, and God's voice will never contradict his word. Ever. Ever. And God speaks to us through his son now, and we got to stop listening to those things. We got to stop listening to your doubts and fears. Some of you really need to hear this. Because you're so captivated by your doubts and you're so imprisoned by your fears, and that's the only voice ringing in your head. I can't do this because I'm not good enough. I can't do this because I'm too afraid. I don't think, and then you start thinking about the worst case scenario in your life, and that worst case scenario all of a sudden becomes reality in your mind, and you start believing it like it's faith. You're like, yeah, that's really gonna happen for sure. Everybody's gonna die. And we become so negative, right? This could be also described as AKA your feelings. There are times when we need to trust our gut, but some, you know, our gut should never be contrary to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's never gonna be contrary to God's word. Amen. But too many times we just worship and we bow down at the altar of doubt, and we bow down to the altar of fear. And we miss so much opportunity that God has in front of us. I know this is not from God, because here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." It's not one of fear. It's one of power. And where do we get the power? Through the Holy Spirit. And it's a sound mind. Why? Because I don't let the other things speak louder than Jesus, and I begin to focus my mind on the things and the word of God. And I stop letting those things come and be part of my life. I need to build my faith. And so Romans tells us how. Romans says faith comes from hearing. That is hearing what? The good news about Christ, the good word about Christ. So I have to listen to that. This is why it's so important for you to read your Bible. It's so important for you to be in the house of God, to hear the worship of God and the preaching of God, and not just once a month or once every other week, but like every single week, every single time. You're like, well, that's a lot. Yeah, you know why? Because we need it. I need the word of God planted in my life. I need the word of God speaking to me, and that's what I need to start doing next. You need to start listening to God's word. Stop doing those other things and start listening to God. How many of you have that one crazy relative? You know, that uncle. He's just like nuts. You know what's crazy to me? I'll tell you what's crazy to me. What's crazy to me is Christians who can go their whole lives and never crack open the Bible. Never have read the Bible. Never have read God's word. And you wonder, it's going to be a little on the nose. And you wonder why you're so spiritually weak. You wonder why you can't get victory in your life. I'm sorry for being so blunt, but I'm sorry that I'm not sorry. You can't figure out why you still struggle with the same sin over and over and over and over, and the same doubt over and over and over, and the same fear over and over and over and over, because you haven't planted your roots in God's word. You're listening to other voices. The book of Isaiah, the prophet says, "Give ear and come to me, listen, that you may live." That you may live and not die. It is the word of life. And God speaks to us through his son. Christmas is all about God speaking his word into our life. And oh, the benefits we reap as believers. Oh, the benefits we reap as children of God. Because it says in Psalms, it says, "But they delight in the law of the Lord." That's the word of God. Meditating on it day and night. They're like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. And their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Lord, let that be me. Let that be me. Make it your goal. Don't wait till January 1. Do it right now. Make it your goal right now. God, I want to listen to your word. I'm going to do everything I can, God, to get your word into my life. I'm going to drown out the other voices of doubt and fear and shame and guilt. And I'm going to start listening to your Holy Spirit. I'm going to start making it a priority to put my roots down in your word. And we could say, like the man of God, "Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Who are you listening to? You see, the question isn't, did God speak? The question is, will you listen?